Okay, thank you very much, Ayman. This is a really great place, and then especially this, you have a nap bed or bunk or something in the corridor, and I'm very amazed, and beautiful place. And then this weather here is so nice. It's a bit cold side, crisp side. It's like a Tokyo winter, but it is not really seriously winter. So I'm really enjoying this day and then talking to everybody. So today I will talk about this Hamiltonian supermaps. It's a kind of new types of formulation for supermap, particularly for Hamiltonian dynamics. And we wanted to transform Hamiltonian dynamics, unknown Hamiltonian dynamics, to another dynamics, and how to do it, kind of thing. So just before talking to this current subject, and this is our group, and then so Flair have just left February, right? So you are not in there, but we have this member, then Yoshida-san in the middle, Satoshi there. He is one of the member, and then we are doing this higher order quantum transformation computation thing, and then also distributed quantum computation. Yamasaki-san, Hayata Yamasaki, he joined our group last summer. He's also doing error correcting code and machine learning, and then all sorts of. So what we are doing is quite expanded, but there are lots of people in our group working on this higher order stuff.
Oh, I should use this.
Okay, so for quantum computer, I have to sometimes talk to these industry people, and then what are you doing, what they're useful for that, and then it's always difficult to justify for them, like our kind of research is really useful for selling quantum computer. But I think this quantum computer is not just for calculating some classical computational problem, but it's allowed to access all possible quantum resource in the world to do something new or interesting. So what I are particularly interesting is this quantum computer or quantum computer computational way of thinking would allow not we accept the natural quantum system, but we can manipulate or intervene, or we can do more on the artificial control on quantum world beyond what usually condensed matter people, Hamiltonian given, and you have to accept Hamiltonian, but we can change Hamiltonian. So what we can design, or we can program Hamiltonian, that is the things the quantum computer, understanding quantum computer would allow. So ultimately, I think we can program quantum system, and this programming quantum system part is a very big part of quantum information. These physics usually don't program physical system, but the given system we analyze. And now, of course, we put lots of shining laser or doing some Fourier dynamics or something. So there's this condensed matter people also start to program quantum systems. But we kind of don't limit ourselves too much on what we can do. As long as quantum mechanics allows, we can do if there is quantum computer. So we wanted to see this ultimate limit where quantum operation, whichever quantum operation allowed in this physics or this quantum mechanics allowed, we wanted to use full use of it. And the usual quantum computer is something transforming state to another state. Most of the quantum programs are used in this way. So you have some input variable. You can change something freely, and then you do some map, some operation, which is programmed by some sequence of gate, or anyway, if you wanted to do measurement computation, then it's a state, graph state, and maybe the protocol how to measure. But this is a sort of command what you do. So usual quantum computer is computers are considered to be a quantum state processor. However, actually, quantum computer can do more than just state processor. We can do process processor. That means quantum computer can process quantum dynamics, so quantum system including maps and states, not just state, but the maps. So we can change unknown, so this variable can be unknown, it could be universal. Map can be transformed to another map by using quantum computer. So of course, whichever we want, everything we want cannot be easily done because some of the map are not allowed, forbidden by quantum mechanics. But what can be done? So what kind of higher order? So what we call this higher order processing is like this thinking of a quantum process processor. And how much performance or what is allowed, what is not allowed? These are what we wanted to figure out. And this, what we call of in our group, this quantum higher order quantum operation, higher order quantum transformation, is also known, and several groups in the world, they have a different naming. So I think Calgary groups and our groups sometimes, our group also sometimes call the super channels, super instruments, super whichever, super. And then Pavia group usually called quantum super maps and quantum testers, and then Vienna group somehow called process matrices. These are sort of similar thing, sometimes slightly depending on the context. So originally I think super quantum super map have to be causally ordered. And we call this super cause channel, which includes indefinite causal order. So, but it's really depending on the paper, who are author, these kind of, this terminology is not like a strictly set. So whenever you read this paper, these papers, you need to check what the definition in the beginning. It's because same name, different, sometimes different things they mention. And actually, the framework of such a higher order quantum transformation or quantum supermaps has been already done by this initially, I think, Pavia group or in this kind of formalism is done. It's called quantum conformalism, and how such a the transformation map of the map should be able to written so. Written and how it can be implemented in a circuit. So the transformation, what you want is written like this, like whichever operation A. Oops. Okay. Operation A to some SA. This is a function of operation. This Canadian transitional thing. Some of this function can be written in this way to implement in the circuit. You do some operation before and after together with extra auxiliary system as a memory. So some function can be done written in this way, and then all the function can be written in this way has a known satisfy the condition. And because this super map transform map to map, of course we can always write a map by CHOI operator. So it's this super map is an operation on CHOI operator to another CHOI operator. But it is not just simple this completely positive preserving, but this extra requirement, the higher order operation need this causal order. Condition to be satisfied to be implementable in quantum circuit. So this framework has been well developed. So that's kind of already done in more than 10 years ago. That's nice. Then it turned out to be very interesting question. This because operation has past and future. You can kind of arrange these different operation, how to connect these operation. One is like you can use these operation, different operation in parallel. Sometimes you can use in sequential, or sometimes you can do this like this order indefinite depending on what you put the input. So which is called dynamical ordering or classical control of causal order. But mathematically, if we only pose this super map to be completely, completely positive map preserving, something not the causally ordered condition, you can consider this indefinite causal order. This Flair mentioned sometime last week. Yeah. And there are actually two different kinds, types of indefinite causal order. One type is switch type, what we called. So it is sort of considered to be superposition of these different causal order. Or even there is something general indefinite causal order. It's a higher order process. You cannot write in like a superposition of these states. Yeah, so it's and then how to implement this? What's kind of thing? It's how to access these kind of indefinite causal order is, I think, not well known. So some group experimentalists said that they managed to implement quantum switch, and so, and then in some sense it's right, but in some sense I don't agree this is really quantum switch. So still I think we haven't, like a human being doesn't know this and how to deal with in real life. So yeah, we try to think about this. One of our work is on how to understand this is one of the problem. But today I will try a little bit more practical thing, and then like we restrict ourselves to be not indefinitely causally ordered, but we know how to implement in quantum computer the operation, higher order operations of such kind of causally order, implementable by causal ordered circuit. That means usual quantum computer. So why higher order computation is interesting? It's like I found very interesting, but in the world, I don't think so many people in the world is working on higher order things. I don't know why they don't like. We always have a problem like, your research is a limited interest, not broad interest, because not many people doing blah blah. But what I wanted to convince you is higher order is interesting. So this higher order way of thinking would allow you to do this quantum usefulness of quantum computer, not just state processor, but it can be used for processor. And it's kind of manipulating unknown states and unknown dynamics, unknown map. So it's sort of an expand our way of information processing, not the state information encoded in the state, but you can consider information processing encoded on map or even higher map, higher order maps. So yeah, more field is wider. And of course, higher order is include the lower order. So very special case is state, and then it's a normal map, and then higher. You can go to climb up to the whichever you like. So this is general. So general thing, understand general things always allow non-general one, specific case, so it's good. And therefore, so it may extend the usefulness of quantum computer. We always have a problem of the what quantum computer is useful. These people ask, and then we are good at breaking code and things, and then but we need more good use of quantum computer. So maybe provide new use of quantum computer. And of course, by understanding this higher order, we can understand quantum mechanics from the new point of view. It didn't show in the state transformation level, but if you consider map transformation levels, there's some new quantum mechanical property might appear. And that's kind of actually what we are finding out, and it's always fascinating. Something interesting is like from the state transformation point of view, lots of things we think, okay, this shouldn't be possible. But somehow, the analogy of a map transformation, some of the tasks are possible. So the most fascinating thing I have experienced many times on this kind of higher order research is that we tried to prove no-go theorem, and then turn out to be go theorem. So yeah, so somehow this is actually, we find the construction, actually this is possible, which is very, very counterintuitive. But once we found out the construction, okay, yes, it is like, the words, the universe is like that. So it's very interesting and it's sort of exciting. And there's still like not many people working on, so not much of the things. The field is not well, like everybody, not on the everybody's textbook. So it's still developing and then more, lots of things to be done. It's not like the only extremely difficult question is left, but still there's a more accessible. So difficult to find, but easy to solve question might be hidden. Like entanglement theory, now most of the problems are hard, right? So we try all the easy questions are solved, and then all the open questions are very, very difficult. Everybody tried hard and didn't find out this. But here we still have a lot of open question left, I think. So we always try to find out a new question related to higher order. And actually, yes, like in visiting here, like we have this catalytic supermap, etc. Lots of new concepts we can come up with. And then another interesting is this, it's a function of function. So we kind of try to develop functional programming in quantum world. Functional programming has been kind of considered in, like, for example, this Pavia group, etc. But still, I don't think we have many algorithms developed from this functional programming and way of thinking. So we want a new quantum algorithm, and lots of people try to do non-functional programming sense, so the procedural programming. But if we kind of build up functional programming, we may find out some new types of algorithm. I don't know if it works or not, but some new way of thinking how to build algorithm. I think basically based on this, like it's a composition of subroutine to express some algorithm that might help to develop new algorithm. I don't know, in this talk, we tried to attack this kind of functional programming idea to develop new algorithm in this talk later. And then also like control of unitary is usually the very utilized in every quantum algorithm. And then such a control of unitary is a higher order operation. And then like recently developing quantum singular value transformation kind of algorithm, we always need to controlize something. Operation and how to controlize operation without knowing what you are is always difficult problem, and then this may be help to understand. Anyway, so what I want to stress is that this higher order is a new frontier of quantum information from my point of view, and then more of the things to be done. Good. Yeah, maybe I would skip a little bit, but in our group, so we will be based on working on these lots of different aspects of higher order transformation. One is like to start with, it's a bottom up, and what kind of function is implementable in quantum mechanics? We want to figure out, and we want this catalog of the function implementable, which is not many function, not yet, but we want to enhance this. On the other hand, just function, one function doesn't help to build up functional programming. We wanted to consider how to composition of higher order transformation. And composition of higher order transformation is actually very interesting. It is composition of operation is kind of straightforward. You just do connect. But higher order operation is just something that with kind of the circuit with lots of holes. So where to make holes and how to insert the other the circuit with hole, and then how to kind of how to include the hole or how to close the hole, how to newly open the hole. Lots of different things can be done. So this formulation of what kind of composition to be possible is not that yet understood. We are also working on this category theorist to formulate this, but I don't talk this today. But that's interesting. So that's a top-down approach of functional programming, and this is bottom-up approach of functional programming. And then this I see this indefinite causal order, parallel or sequential. This is really interesting to analyze the performance of the causal order structure, how causal order structure affects the performance of the implementation of function. So some tasks you need sequential, some causally ordered kind of line, i.e. some depths in maybe computer science language, or some task can be done by parallel calling of the thing, and then what's kind of essential difference for this causal order of the power, like a causal order of the input operation, how they are used, how much this affects. This is a very interesting thing to think about. And then it doesn't appear in state transformation, because state doesn't have a past. You can't connect past to the state in general. So this is really this causal order structure analysis in this kind should come for this higher order thing. And maybe this can be useful for some simulation, sensor, etc. Yeah, that's what we hope.
Which of these is the work that you're referring to when you were looking for a no-go theorem but it ended up being a go theorem?
We want both.
You mentioned that you had an incident where you were trying to find a no-go theorem. Is that one of these?
Yes, not this, but the first one with unitary conjugation. So we tried to prove unitary conjugation is not possible with finite co of unitary, but we found the algorithm to implement with dimensional minus one use of unitary exact and deterministic, which was surprising. Yeah, and actually Yoshida-san had find a qubit universal inversion protocol, deterministic and exact, which I thought this is impossible. We all thought impossible, but he found the circuit. Yeah, this was very surprising. I mean, you can do maybe approximate in a good approximation, epsilon error or something, but zero error is possible. And then just need four calls or 3 point something call is necessary. Yeah, I think next week Yoshida-san will talk about it. Yes, please.
The conjugation go theorem that you said is the thing that Helen mentioned, that if you have four...
That's inversion. Yoshida-san's one is inversion. Before, some time ago, this is Miyazaki et al. Paper. I can give you a reference sometime later. But that was some time ago, 2018, some time ago. But this was the first series of this higher order research paper. Yeah. So this guy now become a monk, but he's still writing paper, doing monk. So then there's a higher order operation doesn't restrict everything into the input operation to be unitary, but we think especially this when input is unitary, and if you then this function will be particularly useful because this can be this functional programming, right? This, when we have a circuit and then do this subroute in the circuit, you can transform something. And then they are the first kind of guess about what kind of function would be nice for quantum programming. And replication, inversion, complex conjugation, transposition, controlization, quantum switch, these things. These are the first choice. But of course, actually most of these cannot be done by single call of you. So it's like a no cloning of unknown unitary, which makes sense very much. And this inversion, single call, you cannot. Multiple call, we have some serious, this one is conjugation paper, is this one, Physical Review Research paper. And this is actually turned out to be possible with the, so it's not possible by single call, but qubit case, single call is possible, but Q-treat above, you cannot do, even probabilistically to require exact. Anyway, lots of things what would be nice to have is actually not possible with single call. But yeah.
There is one supermap that you just put whatever qubit unitary inside once it returns the inverse of this unitary.
Yeah. So, but if we only use single U, yes, we cannot transform to inverse.
Okay.
But we need then, so what we need to think about, we can use multiple times. This is like a Yoshida-san's work, you need to use four times.
It's the one that...
Right, yeah. Or this, it's a multiple, is a multiplication side, or you can do the division side, divisible call. So divisible call is a funny thing, but because U2 square root of U, so universal square division is not possible. If such things is possible, then like every Clifford operation can be turned into the non-Clifford easily, right? This and so anyway, division is not possible. But like thinking about the Hamiltonian dynamics, if we know this unitary is Hamiltonian dynamics, you can change this the kind of, if time is t is 1t by half, this is square root. So tuning parameter time, you can do whichever division of fractional query you can make for this Hamiltonian dynamics. So we try to think about this. So I'm sorry this take too long, but I need the real story there a bit quickly. But what we wanted to do, what I wanted to talk today is if we have a, to implement higher order, we need extra power. The one is like a multiple call. But today I wanted to talk this divisible unitaries. So if I give the power, we have extra power. The black box is not full black box, but somehow we can divide in a nice way. And then what can we do kind of thing. And then, so one is universal neutralization. This is one higher order map, which I will explain. And then controlization, etc. And then this one is this more general linear function, implementing linear transformation of Hamiltonian. That kind of thing is possible. Right. So this talk is rather than not no-go theorem, but the construction of algorithm. And I think Yoshida-san will tell a little bit more on no-go, I think, for what is not possible. Right, okay. So these are mainly based on this paper. These three people have left the group some time ago. Two of them now work in Toshiba doing machine learning. And Soeda-san, the last guy, he's become an associate professor in National Institute of Informatics. So so we have a kind of warming up of the clean neutralization. I think. So the easiest task maybe perhaps for the higher order is is a map transform every unitary to identity without knowing. So if you know you and then try to make it identity, you apply U inverse, right? But then U to U inverse is not possible with a single core. So what is the best way to transform U to identity for every U without knowing U? Yeah, this is the neutralization task. It's a simple task. And as you kind of guess, the easy way to implement this is avoid. Okay, you add another auxiliary system and swap and then try to avoid going through the channel, of course. However, this is not kind of erasing the U. So this is some erasing U, because whichever U, you put some fixed state I, so erasing information about U. But this kind of avoiding, dodging U does not erase this U in this universe, right? It's just you throw into the bin, but it's still there. U is there in the bin. So what we want to do is we want to erase this information about U from whole universe, okay? And such protocol, yeah, so actually, this is possible if we have access to this fractional power of U. That's what I want to show. Because we have a nice property of invariance of an operation. So one way of thinking is like for particular U, if you have an eigenstate of psi of U, whichever eigenstate, then this is going to U psi, but psi is because an eigenstate, you give an eigenvalue and an eigenstate, so it only gives the global phase. So all the non-global phase information is erased, right? Yeah, so if you know, of course, you can do this neutralization without using dagger and without kicking out the unitary information into the bin. However, this, of course, eigenstate depending on U. But the nice things, of course, we know is if you have a D, so D-dimensional unitary, you have a DQ-dit state, a totally anti-symmetric state. If you apply these and then apply the same divided unitary D times, It's invariant state. It's totally anti-symmetric state. Is in total invariant state, and then only this determinant coming here. So that means if we use this property nicely, we can erase information about unitary totally from our universe, because this yes please.
The question is, why do you want to erase this totally from the universe? Why is it not enough for your computation to just avoid it like you showed?
Actually, this is related to we wanted to make a universal control, the U to control unitary. So if we kind of like, if zero, we do this erase. If we don't, zero, do nothing. One, erase, no, zero, erase. One, apply. If you can do coherently doing this operation, this would achieve control unitary operation. Mm-hmm. But if we just kick out this unitary into the universe, we cannot get this control unitary operation, because it's the correlation to the environment is there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we want this clean protocol. So this is for if you wanted to access only a target part of control operation, we don't want this non-clean protocol.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yes, yes. So using this idea, if we have this is the equal two case. If you have two of them and then do this actually like this, this operation, it's erasing the memory of the information about U inside absorbed in this invariance of the state. And we can write the higher order operation or the Choi operator of this higher order operation in this as a Choi state in this form. Right. And then this a bit not nice part is this part is as a mixed state I. The Choi is not a pure Choi. That's a little bit of a problem. Okay, I don't know I can go it, but okay. Anyway, so because this comb does the clean erasure, if you can do the control this comb, control supermap is possible, we can implement this control unitary. And control unitary is something, and then we know this just single use of a unitary U, we cannot implement control U. This is no-go theorem. But what we wanted to show is actually if it's a U is divisible, D divisible, control unitary can is possible up to global phase. Right. Maybe I just skip quickly, but then superposition is very important in quantum computation. And then now controlization, control some operations is very important. And then think about how to understand control unitary. But we just need to controlize a supermap. But now this supermap is not pure, which is non-unitary. Then we have to think about how to understand controlizing a general CPTP map, which is actually not well defined before, surprisingly. How to understand control non-unitary channels. And then we have to kind of define scratch from this to achieve the controlled supermap. Anyway, so to do this, I will skip a little bit. So important thing is like because control unitary, important thing is keeping this off diagonal part. Otherwise, coherence is lost, as usual, like a state kind of case. And how to keep this off diagonal part is for general channel, what is a control general channel which keeps the coherence as much as possible? How to define this was not actually trivial. And what we found is the one way to find out the given channel A, find out the control channel such that the coherence so this control is if control is zero, do apply identity. And then if control is one, apply this channel. And then we wanted to make this keep the coherence as much as possible. How to do? And this is actually very related to Flair's PhD thesis or one of your paper. So to do that, this is a recipe how to do. And then interesting thing is, everybody thinks it's a channel. So you just do the Steinspring and just controlizing Steinspring. That should work. Yes, that is. But the problem is that there are lots of different Steinspring, and then you don't know what is the best way, most coherent the Steinspring such that most coherently control one. How to find is not that trivial. However, this is the way if you consider this extra operation here, which is just given some nice parameter alpha I. And every kind of Steinspring can be represented by this form. So, and then this is Krauss operator. So first we need to find out mutually orthogonal Krauss operator. We usually don't care about orthogonality of each Krauss operator when we analyze channel, but here we need a mutually orthogonal Krauss operators, and then write some kind of one unitary. So given Krauss operator, you define unitary such that satisfying this, and then we add extra parameter this is kind of, this alpha is kind of telling the coherence parameter. And then somehow analyzing, getting this sum over alpha star ki, this the norm of this to be maximum one, this gives the max coherence.
I have a question,
yes.
Two in back. The first is that how do I reassure myself that the tracing part, the removing of the environment, will not break the coherence of you're trying to superpose between doing the channel and not? And related to this is that isn't it easier to think about superposing the Troy representation instead?
Mm-hmm.
Because that way we don't need to deal with this ambiguity in the Steinsman representation.
But now it's so this is kind of what we do is we superpose identity. So you wanted to superpose identity Choi and then this current Choi. You can define this, but is this the is that a different thing? Just so in a Choi level. Okay. That's also possible, I think. Is that at the end is the same thing?
It probably is.
Yeah. I mean, when you maximize, because one of them is not it. So this is a superposing. Yeah, so it's not the maximal entanglement anymore, right? It's a channel to the reference system, one of them. So it's a mixed state. So channel Choi is a generally mixed state, and then how to superpose with pure state is not that trivial now, I think. Do you see?
Yes.
It's not a rank one anymore.
Well,
so
we need to include the purification
mm-hmm.
in the picture.
Right. Yeah, so somewhat we need to kind of how to keep coherence as much as possible with this kind of superposing and mixed state and pure state.
Right.
And then I think at the end, maybe similar things doing. Yeah, I guess. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, another question?
Well, I was just wondering then what happened to tracing out the environment, because it may leak information whether you have applied the identity map or not.
This will leak, which kind of removing this coherence, not perfect, of course. Yeah, so this depending on the channel, the maximal coherence is usually not perfect coherence, of course. Yeah. But interesting thing is for some non-unitary map, we can still make coherence perfect. So that's a not so obvious thing. Yeah. Yeah, generally not this maximal coherence doesn't mean perfect coherence. Yeah, that's a good point. Right. Anyway, we figure out this definition and then make what is the this supermap, and then what is the best way to how to choose this. So we in this supermap world, we need to optimize this value, this Choi operator of supermap. So that's a funny thing. We first given a Choi operator, we have to rewrite in Krauss operator form, and then this optimize. I think maybe if we use as Debbie suggests under this using Choi operator, still we can do a similar thing possibly. But this use of using good the orthogonal Krauss was very important. And at the end, we can find this circuit, which is actually unitary. So This is an interesting thing. We can coherently control mixed supermap and then pure supermap together in this particular case. Right. Right. And then generally you can do like if you have a d-dimensional, you can divide into okay. So if you have a u of 3u, then you can do u to power d. That means if you use u to 1 over d, you can do this up to global phase. Okay, I may be spending too much time and then not enough time for the general stuff, but just quickly summarize this. What happened in Hamiltonian dynamics? So this is the normal dividing. Hamiltonian dynamics can be divided, but Hamiltonian dynamics can be divided in infinitely divisible, right? It's you can divide as much as you like, and then you can do. In this case, we can use we don't need to use this auxiliary system. Just one qubit system is enough for neutralizing. So back to neutralizing. And approximately, this is using randomness. It's sort of Pauli-Thuring using idea of this. So Pauli-Thuring is, or what we call the basis randomization, is we use a correlated randomness before and after the channel. So in this case, this before and after correlated channel is a supermap or COM. And if we average randomly applying this, would actually give this kind of diagonalizing Choi operators. So this is diagonalizing map operator. And then if we use this for Hamiltonian dynamics, so we kind of slice Hamiltonian dynamics and insert this randomization, we can do the similar thing of neutralization of the Hamiltonian dynamics, because we can kill the first order term, which appear in off diagonal side. So off diagonal part is killed, and then keeping identity to the identity is possible. So this is Hamiltonian dynamics can be neutralized with the random Pauli inserting in reasonably frequently. So it's a bit strange. You apply random operation, but that makes this unknown unitary to be silenced somehow nicely. So randomness can help to stabilize in some sense. Yeah. And then if we use this into this COM to be controlized in our defined way, actually control unitary time and Hamiltonian dynamics is achievable without the extra memory, right? So I don't have another time for another things, and maybe I can talk some other occasion if you are interested. But there's another way. So this was like a very simple one, but we developed more sophisticated. Now Hamiltonian dynamics is turned into whichever linear transformation of Hamiltonian dynamics.
So you can have a few more minutes. It's not strict. It's 1.5 hours, including questions. So
okay.
You want 5 or 10 more minutes.
Right, okay. So this previous one was just a neutralization, very simple. Just every unit, like dynamics is turned into identity, so makes silenced. But now we wanted to transform Hamiltonian dynamics to another Hamiltonian dynamics. This Hamiltonian, so F, so given Hamiltonian dynamics, we don't know what it is. We want to implement e to minus I FHT, function of Hamiltonian. And then this function of Hamiltonian has to be Elmission preserving, otherwise it is not Hamiltonian. And then, and also important thing, this function F have to transform identity to identity. Actually, this property seems to be very important. This identity to identity. So it is sort of a matrix version of unital kind of property somewhat. Yeah. So this is necessary for not revealing global phase of a unitary operation. Anyway, this is the algorithm the Odake-san found. So whichever this linear transformation, this control Pauli, control Pauli, and just Pauli, 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 randomly applying these Pauli operation based on this probability calculated by the transformation, which F we choose, would allow to simulate this E2 minus IFT. And then of course this H2 minus H is included in this FH. So we can perform like an inverse unitary, which is a negative time evolution. And then also inverse time evolution and lots of things. So this is sort of magic, but basically you write every Hamiltonian in terms of Pauli operator, then this transformation of Hamiltonian is this transformation of every Pauli element. And this transformation of Pauli elements can be implemented by adding extra one-dimensional. So this is something like called a qubitization or like a extra one, like a block encoding-ish things. But we don't do this block encoding in here. Anyway, so using this. So interesting here is we use this random Pauli control random Pauli operation inserted in this sliced Hamiltonian dynamics with this probability determined by this Pauli transfer matrix, which represent what function you have. We can achieve this transformation. Nice thing here is if this is approximate protocol, and then if we only allowed error to be epsilon, variance is still kept in this 4e. So usually variance going twice square, right? It's if given e, it's given e square generally, but variance doesn't, even we do this random thing and the sampling, the variance is not going bigger. That is a very nice. This variance 4e is in this scheme is a strict. You cannot do better than this. Yes.
Hey, can F change the magnitude of H?
Magnitude. Okay.
Trace H squared. Can F change that?
Okay. So F magnitude is set to be one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this we kind of tune the time. Yeah. So this actually yeah it's a good point to use this H have to be are set to be one. So if you have a large system with lots of term, it's this normalization to be like, because it's just something not big. So you need a big normalization term. So this doesn't work so well for like the sum of exponentially many terms Hamiltonian. But in the world, I think we don't have a like n-body interaction, so we usually think it's okay. But but it's an important point. So and then how do we find this protocol? I mean, does Odake-san find the protocol? Is thinking in the functional programming way. So he wanted to transform Hamiltonian to other form, and then how the what kind of function can transform A to B, B to C, and then concatenate or composition of actually he found the seven function composition seven function does the job. So this is what he thought. Given Hamiltonian H, and then this seven implement this FH. And then doing, okay, adding extra qubit, doing control. So controlization here, this is the one we used in the previous work, this Hamiltonian controlization, then Hadamard, and then doing this. So this is nice subrouting of function. So it's really iteration of a function can do this job. Okay. So, and yeah, and then that's like a, what this can be useful. So we can simulate this H to minus H or H to H transpose, which correspond to time reversal evolution or negative time evolution in this, using this algorithm. And some nice runtime is given by like this. So if Hamiltonian doesn't have an exponential terms, I mean the polynomial term, this can be done in polynomial time. What else? Interesting thing is like if you want to kind of reverse time, there is an overhead. This you have to run this algorithm t square. So this means somewhat like time travel takes time. Yeah, if you go back to time t, you actually run this to t square. So at the end, I don't think you can. Yeah, so time travel is difficult, I think it suggests. Yeah, but this you can make h t or we can kind of picking up one element of Hamiltonian to learn. This can be used for this Hamiltonian learning. So if you have an unknown Hamiltonian, big Hamiltonian, but you only wanted to know one element of the Hamiltonian, we transform original Hamiltonian to one parameter Hamiltonian by using this linear transformation. And then after that, we do this tomography. So then just one element of the Hamiltonian can be obtainable. So if original Hamiltonian is made of polynomial size, then this would be efficient. And it is somewhat a resemble to this paper showing, not this one, a bit more recent one, I think. Runtime tomography, yeah. But if I have a considering n-body Hamiltonian, n-body, some selective n-body Hamiltonian term, if you wanted to look, this would work. Okay, I will finish a summary. Right, so I would like to convince you all this the higher order transformation is an interesting new frontier of information. And then usually difficult to implement, but we can kind of dodge the no-go theorem by like a multiple calls, or in this particular case, this divisible unitaries. And Hamiltonian dynamics is infinitely divisible. This is a really nice property. So in such way, what kind of transformation is possible is nice things to learn and then see implement. So one, we show this neutralization, contrarization, and another one is linear transformation. So these are but still like construction of algorithm and doesn't tell like a ultimate limit. So what is the ultimate limit for this supermap is not that obvious. Doing this through this research, we found kind of new idea has developed like somehow applying multiply correlated random operation and in the algorithm would help to implement unitary operation. So this is interesting thing. We do lots of random thing, but somehow implementing unitary things. And then this correlation really helps. So I think more algorithm would be developed to use this multiply correlated random operation. Another thing is like our algorithm design is sort of functional programming manner, so we can develop more on new and finding new algorithm using functional programming manner would be possible. Yeah, okay. Thank you for your attention. Sorry for the bit longer. So, this is our university main gate in autumn. Looks nice. Yeah, it's funny thing as this main gate used to be. Now it's changed, but usually closed. And they say they only open for the royals visit or something. And then one time, the engineering department over there got fire. And then fire engine came, and then they tried to get through this, and then the guard said, "Oh, we cannot open because you're not royal or something." Yeah, but then and then after that incident, and they're allowed to open this. Yeah.
So did the building burn down?
It was minor stuff, fortunately. Yeah, so now you can get through, I think. Or a fire engine. I don't know. It's
okay, thank you very much for the talk. Before we have any questions here, there's one question from online.
Okay.
So Pedro Loan was intern here last summer. He's joined and he says, "Prof, thank you for your talk. I wanted to know if there are any results in higher order maps, frontier about quantum advantage versus classical higher order computation. Do you have a similar Clifford versus non-Clifford theorem?"
So this Matthews have some so quantum switch advantage over communication complexity result. So if you extend, right? So what to compare is, I'm not quite sure, what advantage? So this Matthews one's advantage is indefinite versus definite, somehow. Indefinite helps.
I think the question is about quantum higher order versus classical higher order.
Classical higher order, okay.
Programming, maybe.
I see. So not quite sure. So some classical problem can be calculated by classical in terms of classical functional programming, and that's
and maybe better in quantum.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. This because any functional programming way of algorithm can be written in non-functional programming way, so finding out the algorithm is a point, but the running the algorithm, the particular functional programming is faster, that things happen. That's I'm not quite sure. Yeah, so I'm not quite sure. Yeah, just
well, okay, thank you.
Question.
Yes. Oh, please.
Have you thought about what the analog of a Lindblad super operator would be? So like, you know, super CPTP maps, infinitesimally generated, have to have generators of a certain form, hence the Lindblad operator. So I'm just wondering if you've put any thought into what the super version of that is. Presumably the infinitesimal generators do have a particular form.
So this you mean this transforming one Lindblad operator to another Lindblad operator?
No, I think I'm asking a simpler question. Is just so I guess most of your supermaps are finite, like you know, not close to identity supermap. But if it is close to the identity superman, then that generator has to have certain properties.
Right. So there are some people working on this higher order approach on open system, quantum open system.
Sure.
And then especially Kavamodi's group in Australia, I think. And actually Phil in our group, he joined originally from Australia, went to Austria, and then coming to our group there, they're doing working on this open system, especially non-Markovian type. So maybe not any more Lindbladian, or like a more complicated system, how to understand with this higher order, what kind of higher order map correspond to this Lindbladian one, or like a non-Markovian one, etc. I think these research is going on. And then very interesting part is this, the auxiliary system part plays an important role in how they are connected, like Markovian, then it's all thrown away in the middle, or like entanglement breaking channel, this auxiliary entanglement breaking channel, or more sophisticated one. Depending on that would maybe characterize different dissipative system. I don't know, everything is found out. Still, I think, going on.
Could I ask a follow-up question just to see if I understand some of your response? Oh gosh, I've lost it. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Right, thank you for the talk. So a really naive question. So you can have these hierarchies of map, super map, super super map, super super map, and so on. So I see that at the first level, your maps are like choice state. You have the choice state, so you have some property of choice.
Right, right. No more map can be written by choice state.
Sorry. So again, at the first level, a map must preserve a state, so completely positivity and trace preserve. Second level, you have that the map has to send choice state to choice state. So completely positivity, trace preserving, and also choice preserving, in a sense, because it has to preserve the structure of the choice.
Choice preserving.
In a sense that the marginal of the state must state the anyways.
Yeah, but some kind of call
that is preserving.
Yeah, but causal order condition is necessary. So
yes.
Output should be happen after input.
Yes.
Yeah, this condition.
I'm just thinking about the initial condition you put like in your
fourth
slide or whatever. So I imagine that going up on the hierarchy you need to preserve to have more and more conditions on the kind of maps you can have. If this is right, and I'm not sure about what I'm saying is right. Going up in the hierarchies, you reach sort of a limit where there are no maps, or you reach a limit where all the maps from that level up, they're all with the same conditions.
But it's always extra condition come up for higher order in
there's
the sense.
Always an extra condition.
Because input-output relationship should be fixed.
I mean, the condition that you have to preserve at the beginning are sort of hereditary. So you bring them up to the next level of the hierarchy. And going up in the level of the hierarchy, I will just try to understand, or if you know, if the conditions do not allow to have any map after some point, or if this accumulating a condition at some point single unique kind of family of map that are the same up to that level.
I don't think there is some limit, because basically no signaling is the condition imposed pattern, always impose every layer, which makes everything complicated, because now so not so many ins and many outs, and these have to be satisfied at the end, but there is no extra condition, I guess. Is it? Or it's this no signaling too complicated, then there's no way to go up higher, because there's
this way. First level, I have quantum states. Second level, I have choice states, that are a subset of quantum states. Third level, I have something that is a subset of choice states, or is again choice states. And if I go into subset of subset of subset, do I end up in a point? I guess so, because there is a fixed point theorem.
It's not. But you got the bigger space.
So choice states are not subsets of quantum states. A subset of choice states, I think. Not all.
So choice states are states,
but then they don't
with a partial trace fixed.
But the larger dimensional system, right? So by
the trick is that you're increasing the dimension.
Yes.
These things make everything sustainable.
I think.
Well, we know we can just construct these things by having an ancilla running down one side of a bunch of boxes. So we can construct.
Yes.
Things as any order we want.
Yeah.
With a bunch of gaps in between the names.
Yeah, so the trick is that you are actually increasing the dimension.
Every time you add them on.
Yeah, okay. And
it was actually discussed at the meeting I was at in Edinburgh. Mm. Someone presented result in terms of categories that there isn't even a hierarchy. So every time you super one smaller, then you get more things.
Right.
And there was a discussion about I was actually the one who asked the question, is there a characterization of super map? And the answer, I wonder if Mio actually knows about this, but it looks like we know some examples of super maps, but we're not sure. And in fact, there's some suspicion that the ones that we know about do not count for all of the possible super maps.
Okay.
Mm. Right. But this kind of no signaling condition would prohibit some, let's say, extra condition needed for all the possible things. Yoshida-san worked one kind of super map, right? And then actually Odake-san's for other research, we also work in super map. And then, but super map have a lot of degree of freedom. And it is not so straightforward. And then I'm not fully understanding, but the collaborator on category theory said this kind of formulation super map is sort of beyond standard category theory because this composition is have a much more freedom than the standard this composition dealt with in category theory. So sort of extension of category theory is necessary or something. I don't fully understand if you understand this here, but that's kind of this more degree of freedom, how to keep the slot and things, yeah. So it's not the iterating inside, but you can do much more things. Yeah, in our case, this Odake-san's algorithm here, it's kind of iterating inside. So it's a Matryoshka type things, but you can do much more complicated composition of a super map. Yeah, so it's not limited. Yeah.
Question or comment, actually. The way you neutralize Hamiltonian evolution or inverted, are they exact or approximate?
This is approximate.
So
for the first one, okay, the one using the one this power, this is exact up to global phase. Yeah. Then Hamiltonian one without auxiliary system, just Pauli one, this is approximate.
The second line of work, there was a lot of activities about around year 2000 or so, or a little before and after, because of the decoupling method, that basically you use a one design on the Hamiltonian.
Right.
You set it to zero so that you
Right.
And then if you skip the identity, there is one element in your one design which is the identity. If you skip that step, then you reverse the Hamiltonian by an appropriate amount.
Okay, for every Hamiltonian.
Yes, because this is because the one design turned everything into nothing.
Right.
That's why if you skip that identity step, then you always reverse Hamiltonian. So that was known around.
Right, but this is for like everything, right? It's you put whole Pauli, X Y Z. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, it's not random sampled one. This version, I think. And then you do one step before is inverse, as far as I remember.
Yeah, that's why it takes about d square steps.
Yes.
There's so many powers to use.
Right. Yes. Dimensional.
And that's why your exact method is actually very nice because first of all, it's exact.
Yeah.
Exactly, square root the number of.
Right.
So I'm just wondering whether you have similar exact kind of result for the reversing.
Exact similar reverse with the Pauli thing. So this I think Yoshida-san has this exact inverting protocol, but which is not as simple as one design kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
it's to inverse one qubit, you need seven, and Yoshida-san's construction needs seven qubits, right? Yeah. And the four calls. But I shouldn't spoil too much of the next week talk, but but it's very interesting. It's sort of catalytic, and then sort of lots of new interesting idea emerge from this analysis. So we'll, yeah, I think Yoshida-san.
Jacopo again.
So again, with this neutralizing superchannel, you say that it's approximate, it's not exact, right?
Hamiltonian version is not exact, but these many invariants, the using totally anti-symmetric state one, that's exact.
Okay, because so the idea of that is that you want to use this sort of twirling, no? That is
twirling one is not exact.
Okay, so the idea with the twirling is sort of at the phasing channel, at the polarizing channel, no? Let's try to send everything to the identity.
Twirling is you apply same operation, yes. Left and right, yeah.
Yes, and if you do with all the unitaries, then you sort of at the phasing channel for channels that goes to maps every state to the identity,
mm-hmm.
Right? So this I know that you have to have a lot of operations, infinite operations, in order to go to the identity precisely with,
mm-hmm.
with this.
Yeah, you apply the block of U, yes, yeah.
And here I'm just doing like this sort of analogy with the twirling channel for on states, not on your unitaries.
Okay, no, so it's a unitary, apply unitary, yeah.
I'm just doing an analogy because I don't know if it's one.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a twirling channel and you want to send whatever state in the identity, you have to apply a lot of unitaries with the share randomness, so k, unitary k, infinite one, and you'll go to the identity. And this is the phasing channel. You can write it like this.
If you plug, yeah, if you plug this bulk unitary, yes, yeah.
This is the twirling, right? Good. At the same time, if you apply just, I don't know, for example, you're on the qubit, and you take as channel on the left and right, like sigma x, sigma z, and sigma y,
mm-hmm.
you obtain something that is similar to the dephasing, but it's not completely dephasing, so
mm-hmm.
it's sending to a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to apply infinite times this in order to go to the identity.
Well, infinite time, I think.
No,
it's, we don't want identity, we want identifying the operation, right?
You want to send whatever channel into the identity channel.
Yes.
Right. So you want to dephase the channel into something that is the identity channel.
I'm not quite sure it's dephase, it's a good...
The exponent.
Yeah.
You turn the exponent to identity so that your
yes.
unitary is...
It's becoming the
so
identity
you turn the exponent to zero.
Mm.
Yes.
So
that your channel becomes the identity channel, yes.
Identity channel is not dephased channel, right? It is...
No, yes.
yeah, but
okay,
yeah. I mean,
I'll write to you later. So, because the point is that I will write to you, man. You.
Yeah, maybe
words.
Difficult to imagine
yes.
in the word.
Okay, so maybe we have 1-2 minutes left. So, any more questions from anyone? No more questions? No. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. We have
Thank
a
you.
Really interesting talk.
Thanks. Thank you very much.